Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
And this is episode 101, everyone.
All right, 101.
101, girl. So, as you know, I would like to start us off. This is a Debbie Downer update on last episode. No. But I wanted to just get
it. Is this about the date?
No, girl. No, oh. No, no. girl, leave those fucking... You guys... Like,
oh yeah, and you're talking about me, huh?
Last episode sounded like that Pearl was chained up in the chains of Amistad up in here.
That's what it feels like,
bitch. With all that tingling. Anyways, no, my date was great. It was last episode we talked extensively about San Francisco resident Shinji Kayabushi, who was missing. And we talked about some other things in relation to that, but...
But he was found.
But he was found. An update on that situation, I just wanted to put it out there because it was a Debbie Downer, and just then we can just, like, get past it. The day after...
They found him.
They did. They found him, and unfortunately, he is deceased. He was... The part that was kind of fucked up is that his apartment manager had told all the people who were looking for him that he had done, like, a welfare check in his apartment... And then it turns out that he was in the apartment the whole time, deceased.
Right.
Remind me never to let that motherfucker come in my house looking for doing a welfare check on me.
Right.
And the thing was that was so confusing to me is Shinji does not live, like, in an entire big place. I mean, he has a room, like, basically an efficiency apartment that he rented here in San Francisco. And the guy said that he just didn't see him in there. He, like, apparently there was, like, some clothing or something that he did not see him. Now, how you can exactly miss a 200-pound man in a room, like...
Girl, it's just, that's the case of the landlord being lazy as fuck.
Yep, that's how I felt.
That's all it is, girl. I mean...
That's how I felt, too. Like, he, like, must have poked his head in and been like, hello, is anybody here? Nope, nobody's here.
Right.
You know, I was like, girl, that's a mess. But more details are going to come out about this. They're doing an autopsy in him. Currently, they said that there does not appear to be foul play. But I'm still just trying to figure out how that landlord or that whatever. It's beyond me. Regardless of that fact, for the listeners out there, a number of people shared our podcast last week and information about Shinji on social media. Looking for him, and I just wanted to update people that his body was found, and he has passed away. Bless you.
Excuse me.
And if it's from natural causes, that's still very shocking. He was only 48 years old.
Right,
so,
he was young.
So, yeah. Oh, so he's young at 48, but at 45, I'm old, you guys. I see how it is. Anyway.
That's because you look more like you're 80.
I do not look like I'm 85.
What are you, 48?
I'm 45, and Shinji was 48. So that is an update on from last episode.
It's more like she's 54, girl. Flip those. Girl,
no, that's not even true. So that is our update from last episode. And I'm telling you right now, it does not negate the fact that I think that something shady is going on here with all these. Men coming up missing.
Yeah.
Yes. And I 100% believe that there needs to be something done. Like I said last time, it's because all of these people are listed as voluntarily missing adults so that nobody's really even looking for them. And it's just like, well, after a little while, girl, like, somebody's got to be able to report your ass missing and you have to actually be listed as missing. If nobody can find you, at least get some kind of whatever. Anyway, so...
So tell us about the date.
Oh, well, the date was very nice. We went to my... It was a birthday date, remember?
Right.
On my birthday. Mm-hmm. And we just met up for, like, ice cream and cake. I've been on my diet, y'all. So I did break the diet today because I was starving and I was running errands and I just did not have time to
today.
Go. Yeah. Like...
Huh. See, you guys should physically see her. It doesn't look like it's only been a day, bitch.
Yes. It does look like it's only been a day because I'm significantly more slender than I was at the beginning of this year. But we went out for ice cream and cake at this little soda fountain place that opened in the Castro. Have you seen this
thing? Yeah. Is it right on 18th?
It's on Castro Street between 18th and 19th on the same side as Harvey's.
No.
It's like a little soda fountain place. It's very like old fashioned looking. Everybody's got like little old fashioned outfits and it's like a soda fountain. Anyway, we went there and the ice cream was delish and the carrot cake was very good. We also got a piece of pineapple upside down cake because we got two pieces of cake and split it. And he got the pineapple upside down cake because I asked for it too. And like, it wasn't so grand, but whatever. Anyway, the date was very nice. Actually, we have another date tomorrow.
Oh, cute. Is this the second date or have
this
you
This is the fourth date. Tomorrow will be the fourth date.
Damn, y'all went on two dates in between the shows?
Well, we went on...
Wow, she's working fast, y'all.
No, like...
Come through.
Like, we had gone out twice already, and then... Because we'd gone out...
Oh, so that was the third date.
The third date was on my birthday. It was a little get-together. And then tomorrow is our fourth date.
What are you guys doing?
We're having lunch. Mm. We're going out to lunch, you guys.
What happened to this ho-ho phase, girl? What happened to that? So you're already on date four.
Well, I didn't say that. Maybe when I'm dating somebody, I'll not be a hoe. But at the same time, y'all don't know what I'm doing in between. So,
That's true. All right. I'm not mad at that.
I'm like, I'm seeing what's going on with him, and we'll find out. The downside is that I know for a fact that he's planning to move to L.A. in the summertime.
Aww. Oh, that's always so annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that before. I mean, he had mentioned it before we started even going out a little bit. And then on my birthday, he said, maybe on our next date, we can, we'll have to talk about L.A. and stuff like that. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you know, my dad's helping me buy a house down there and da 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 da.
Does that mean he's moving out there or he's just...
No, he's definitely moving to L.A. Because he's an actor, remember? He's, acting pretty much full-time up here.
So would you move out there? Well, I mean, it's too early for that. I mean, not for a man, but would you ever live in L.A. potentially?
I wouldn't mind living in L.A., but definitely... You know, this is what I was telling somebody just yesterday, because they were like, ooh, I heard you've been going out with somebody a few times, whatever. And he's very, very handsome. And we have a lot of fun when we're together, but I will not date somebody that is moving, like not seriously,
mm-hmm.
because it just, it's still,
it gets difficult. I've been the person to move away once and it's not fun. It's not fun.
Well, I mean, the reason that specifically that I won't is because a long distance relationship doesn't necessarily bother me. And dating a person who, if you meet, again, I guess it's the fact that the idea behind that long distance relationship, if you meet somebody and they're farther away and you like kind of are dating over the distance and whatever, that doesn't bother me. But dating somebody and then having them go somewhere just really doesn't work for a number of reasons because A, they're in a new environment and they're going to be meeting tons of new people and, you know, the opportunities are there for them to like want to see other people, number one. And,
but I mean,
and second of all, what I was going to say is that when I moved to San Francisco, I started dating shortly after I got here, somebody that I ended up being with for a year. But being in that relationship, I felt like hindered my ability to make friendships with people and because I didn't want to like constantly be going out with people that he didn't know. And hanging out with people he didn't know because it just made it uncomfortable. I know it made him uncomfortable.
But you don't think that's partially your own insecurity? Because who's to say that someone even wants to continue dating other people anyway?
Well, right. And I, like, you know, God love him because his to his credit, he was like, the reason he, the way he brought up the idea of LA was, discussing that was, he said, well, you know, the last, every time we hang out together, I realize like that I enjoy hanging out with you more than I even did the last time. And I think that the more I hang out with you, the more I'll want to hang out with you. So we should probably talk about what will happen when I move to LA. And it was so cute the way he said it. And I was
That's heart-crushing.
I was like, oh my God, that is really adorable. Like, he said that every time we hang out, he wants to hang out with me even more than he did before. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that I have an emotional block to the fact that knowing that he's going to be leaving.
Yeah.
You know? And that is something that I think would... I mean, I'm more than willing to, like, continue hanging out with him and see what happens. But there's something in my head that's like, this is not a long-term thing because he's moving.
Well, at least you're honest with yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with him, too. I, you know, like, I'm not going to keep that a secret from him. But it is something, it's a challenge. And, you know, it sucks because this is the first person that I've, like, gone out with more than two times, and like, you know, he wants to keep going out. And meanwhile, yeah. I'm like, yeah, your ass moving. So
right.
Keep it moving. No.
Well, damn.
But it will be, it's a nice experience, and he's super upfront. He likes the fact that I'm super upfront also. And, you know, he was also saying to me like, well, cause he's in school. He was in school. He was working full time and he's full-time acting almost because he's in this play. And he was like, well, I'm leaving my job after like that. He left his job, I guess last week. And he said, after that, I'll have school in the play. So I can get ready to move to LA, but in the interim, I'll be available a lot more. So we can hang out a lot more and all this stuff. And I was just like,
oh,
like, well,
when is he supposed to move?
June or July, he said.
Oh, girl, you got plenty of time.
Girl.
Who knows? Who knows what could happen within that time?
Well, yeah. I do think he's super adorable, though. And he's very, very cute. He said, let's go to lunch on Wednesday. And then after... But let's make sure it's near my house so we can lay up on my couch together.
That's cute.
It is cute.
Lay up on my couch together. All right.
So, it is the fourth date, y'all.
By the third date, I'm ready, which is weird because I'm about to go on my fourth date and I still haven't done anything. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but if the fifth date happens and still nothing happens, I got to go.
Girl.
Got to go.
What a whore.
I mean, the fifth date, come on now.
Well, I mean, what
if... And the thing is, with trans women, it could be different because, especially if you're dating someone new to... dating trans women, I'm not gonna sit here and wait for you to figure it out, boo. Whether this is something you're attracted to or not, girl, figure it out. You should have known before we started dating.
All right, well.
Anyway, but how was your weekend?
The weekend was very busy. A lot of things going on. I was in drag a lot. Friday, I was at Hood Slam Wrestling. I was not in drag, but I did put a former contestant on WWE Tough Enough, AJ Kirsch, into drag.
Huh.
He was on the fifth season of Tough Enough, which is a reality show where the winner of the reality show gets a contract with WWE. AJ is from the Bay Area, and he doesn't wrestle with Hood Slam. He's the voice of Hood Slam. He does all of their announcing and all this stuff. And every year, Hood Slam Professional Wrestling at the Oakland Metro Opera House has a show called Femmed Out, where all of the wrestlers are in drag, and all the female wrestlers, many of the female wrestlers will be in, like, drag king drag kind of thing. Yeah. And so we did this cute video. We filmed a video, put it up on my YouTube with putting AJ into drag. He was Christina Swagulera. So
cute.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then Saturday, I was in drag for a couple of events in the Castro. And then Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, I hosted a fundraising event at Divas, and we raised $617
for
the Imperial Council of San Francisco.
Oh, so it was for the actual organization?
Yeah, the organization is a nonprofit, also. But, so we raised that, and then this coming Saturday at the Lookout from 3 to 6 p.m., immediately following Lips and Lashes Drag Brunch, hosted by Carne Asada, I'll be doing a fundraising event for the Castro Country Club, which is one of my charities of choice.
And we are getting really close to the whole voting thing,
right? Yes, voting day.
God, February came up quick, didn't it?
It sure did, and it is flying past. So, February 17th, which is a Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can vote for Emperor and Empress of San Francisco at three different locations in and around the city. You can vote between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Project Open Hand on Polk Street, from 1 to 5 p.m. at Powerhouse in South of Market, and from noon to 6 p.m. at the Castro Muni Station in the Castro. So you will see all of your candidates for Emperor and Empress out there campaigning, specifically probably hardcore in the Castro. That's where the majority of the voting happens. So you'll see me and my crew out there, y'all. So come on out and support a bitch. You need a San Francisco, Marin County, or San Mateo County ID to cast your vote. So show up, show out, and support a bitch.
All right.
So how did you spend your weekend?
I worked. I worked on Saturday at AJSF. And on Sunday, I finally... So you guys know how I have been going through this whole foot situation. I finally went to the doctor's on Sunday to get my foot x-rayed. And luckily, I have no broken bones, no fractures, no nothing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I want to say I think my foot's getting better. Who knows? Because one day it feels good, the next day it feels the worst it's felt within the past previous days. I don't know. The lady told me not to baby it, and I think it's feeling better. Who knows? But nothing too crazy. I'm taking ibuprofen, so.
All right, well.
But if the thing is, if it doesn't heal within 2 weeks, she said we might need to start physical therapy.
Lord.
Right, right.
Well, how do you physically do physical therapy on something that's not broken?
Girl, I don't know, but apparently people do it.
She'd be like wiggling your toes. She's
right, like, okay, just to deal with the, I think they try to just make you push through the, I don't know, the pain of it all. That's what my guess is.
So, are you back at Asia this weekend?
Mm-hmm. I'll be there on Saturday. You guys have to check. So, this past weekend, they actually had photographers there while we were hosting and serving and performing and stuff. So, it sounds like I'll be on the website soon, finally. God.
Oh, cool.
And hopefully on the new drink menu. We'll see.
Oh, very good.
The Pearltini could actually be a thing, Pollo.
I know, right? I bet so. Like, that's great.
Right. Of course, when I don't drink as much anymore. Go figure. But that was pretty much my weekend. And I think this weekend is going to be the same. I'm going to try to lay off my foot for as much as possible. We'll see. Valentine's Day is actually our next episode.
Oh, my God.
And before that is my partner's birthday, so I have to get, like, double the gifts. Well, you're going to have to come see my house soon. So, you guys, I've been on this, doing this extreme, like, makeover thing to my house. And, girls, taxes just finished, and I just got my taxes, so I got a new TV.
Oh, I got a very new nice.
Console table, girl. It's coming in the mail soon. My TV just came in the mail today, so I'm so excited.
Your TV came in the mail?
Yeah, girl.
Did you order it from, like, Walmart.com?
No, I got it from Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. Well, can I tell y'all really quickly on the subject of dating? This is going to be very brief. But on my birthday, which was last week, I got an email from a crazy ex-boyfriend who I thought was in a foreign country because he's from there. Okay. And,
what?
It was just like, yeah, like, we dated while he was in the U.S., but he went home. And, you know, he emailed just to say, like, happy birthday, and I hope you're well, or whatever. And he mentioned the dogs, because he loved the dogs. And so I responded back, and I sent him a photo of the dogs, and I just said, I hope you're well, like, what's going on, what's new? And then, within, like, an email, he started right back into the sort of thing that irritated the shit out of me. Like, he wouldn't answer any of my questions, but he would ask questions.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? No, this is a fucking game. I'm not playing it anymore. Don't contact me. I've been doing great without you. You gave me a fucking headache for 6 long months when we were dating. You've got to go.
At least it was only 6 months, girl.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh my God. It was just...
That's annoying.
It was. I was like, how are you going to come, pop back up in my life after, all this time? Because he was like, I don't see your number anymore on WhatsApp. Because I deleted that motherfucking app because I don't want to talk to you. You were the only one I had it to talk to. Goodbye.
I heard that, girl.
Anyway.
Goodbye and good riddance, girl.
And what made me think about it is that the last time I was dating somebody on Valentine's Day, it was him. And I was like, oh.
How long ago was this?
3 or so years ago.
That was the last time you've had a Valentine?
Yeah.
Ooh, rough, girl.
No, bitch. You know what?
A lot of places... Years probably doesn't seem like a lot of time for you.
A lot of places give you buy one, get one free meals and stuff on Valentine's Day.
What?
Yes, girl. They give you specials.
That's funny because I know the opposite. Everyone hikes up their prices on Valentine's Day.
But, you can order things. They'll be like, get this and this for free for your Valentine. And
where
be like,
are you yes, ordering from? Bitch. Walmart.com?
Yeah, why not? Be like, yes, I'll take both of those. Thank you very much.
Such a mess.
So, anyway, I don't give a damn. So, I do want to say that on this episode, coming up very briefly, in just a few minutes, we are going to be having with us Ashley Arnold. Ashley Arnold is one of the 3 creators of Klexicon.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is one of the largest gatherings of lesbians, LGBTQ women, and their allies. Which it's an entertainment forum. It's kind of like a whole bunch of things at once.
Yeah,
it feels
think Comic-Con, but for celebrating LGBTQ characters.
Yes.
And it's a fairly new kind of thing that started. It really only started maybe a year or two ago. But it's happening out in Vegas. It's getting larger and larger. It's ran by some pretty awesome lesbian women. It sounds fun. I would totally be down to go.
So the description of Klexicon is a media and entertainment convention for LGBTQ women and allies held annually in Las Vegas. The convention and festival celebrates LGBTQ women in TV, films, comics, books, and online media, and hosts panels, workshops, charity events, and parties, as well as a 3-day film festival.
Yep.
The event brings together actresses, directors, producers, writers, comic book illustrators, visual artists, academics, and fans from over 40 countries and 50 U.S. states to celebrate the best of LGBTQ TV and film and discuss how to improve representation of the LGBTQ community, specifically among lesbian characters, among all media platforms.
They're going to have so many great cameos there. A ton of celebrities, but we will talk about that right when we come back.
Yes, so it's going to be exciting. We are going to have with us Ashley Arnold right after this. You are listening to Party Foul Radio. I am Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We'll be back in just a moment. For news, entertainment features, celebrity interviews, and beautiful photo pictorials, pick up your copy of San Francisco's Left magazine today. Left is Northern California's most beautiful LGBTQ entertainment and lifestyles publication. Pick up your copy in the Castro today or visit Left Magazine online at liveleft.com. That's liveleft.com. Daddy's Barbershop is San Francisco's favorite barbershop as voted in the 2017 San Francisco Bestie Awards. Located at 4102 19th Street, Daddy's Barbershop takes walk-in and appointments every single day of the week. Visit Arlen, Jesse, and the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop. Find out why they are San Francisco's favorite barbershop and a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I am Poyo Delmar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And now we have with us 2 of the organizers of Klexicon, Danielle Jablonski and Ashley Arnold. Welcome to Party Foul Radio, ladies.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
So I specifically requested have you ladies call in during our actual recording because my co-host, Pearl, is really getting into cosplay.
I love cosplay, yeah.
And going to Comic-Cons and things like that. And it seems like this event takes Comic-Con even a step further in towards the way it's geared towards especially queer women and allies.
And I think it's just, it's such a coincidence too. So you guys, KlexiCon is actually happening April 5th through 9th. My birthday is the 6th, so maybe I'll take a little birthday trip to Vegas. But you guys, it's
totally should.
It's going to be at the Tropicana out there. And there's a bunch of different packages that you can get on their website, but we're going to let them talk about it a little bit first. So when I looked it up online, it pretty much sounds like the birth of a revolution that's demanding better representation across all media platforms for LGBTQ women who are tired of being used as plot devices to get ratings, only to be killed off or discarded when our influence is no longer needed. KlexiCon started through...
Well, girl, ask the question!
Well, I'm getting there. KlexiCon started through different social media groups forming. So it started through social media online. How did it turn into something...
like a convention.
So big. You guys had over 2,200 people show up last year.
Yeah, so it started off originally around the show The Hunger when the character Alexa was killed off. There are a lot of people that were really negatively affected by that, and it kind of brought up how so many queer female characters are killed off all the time, and usually in really not very good ways. So our original idea was to bring together a bunch of fans and do something to celebrate that particular character, that particular relationship on TV. But 2016 was a terrible year for queer female characters. At one point, there was one being killed off TV every week. So it kind of morphed from this idea about a small event to becoming something that was for all queer women and allies to talk about, why does this happen? Why is it still happening? What can we do to change it? And so... provide a space for fans from around the world to come together, to have a safe space, and to be able to celebrate together and try to work out how to make things better.
I saw on your website, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was like a, almost like a hashtag about like still killing us off or something. Do you know what I'm referencing?
I don't think that was actually on our site, but there's one of the really cool things about the community right now is that we've been able to use Twitter and social media to trend so many hashtags and bring so much awareness to issues. So people from around the world will come together and have sessions where people will tweet to get things trending to make sure that people are paying attention and noticing. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting that you talk about how this has started off initially in response to the representation of queer women specifically on television, but KlexiCon covers a wide range of medias, whether that's like graphic novels and comics to film and television. So what was the decision-making process to sort of include this very broad spectrum of media?
The process of developing KlexiCon really did start off with as a small idea, and as we started promoting it and talking to people around the world and fans getting involved and excited, a lot of people came at us with ideas like, well, what about this and what about that? So we've tried to incorporate as many things as we can to give people in our community an opportunity to participate and to have a say and to talk about things. And also all these things really are interconnected. Representation on TV and film, representation in graphic novels and comics, like, we're struggling to get better representation across media. So being able to talk about all of those and showing the good reps that there are in all of those is kind of what we're about.
Having just started very recently, were you shocked by an attendance numbers in the thousands?
A little bit, yeah. It blew up really quickly, I think, in part because nobody else was doing anything like this on this scale, like bringing in actresses, bringing in producers, directors, showrunners, writers, like producing really like a Comic-Con, but specific for LGBTQ women and allies. So it wasn't being done before in this way, so people were hungry for it. So they've been showing up, In our first year, we had people from, I think, 43 countries. And we're looking at having, this year, about 3,500 people, again, from 40-something countries.
And you guys, the cool thing, another cool thing about Klexicon is the money that goes to it goes back to the fans. Like, it's not an it's not a thing where it goes to a large corporation who's taking your money and using it for whatever. So it goes, it sounds like it goes back, right back into itself.
Yeah, a lot of it goes back into putting on the best event we can. We want to make sure it is a great event that people really enjoy coming to. And we work with several nonprofits. The beneficiary for this year's event is the True Colors Fund. Last year, we raised money for the Trevor Project and the Tegan and Sarah Foundation.
Sickening.
That is fantastic. I mean, we had Rhea May on with us, a Canadian singer who is an out lesbian, and we talked about Tegan and Sarah because she toured with them, and she actually has a duet with Tegan on her album. So it'd be great for you guys to maybe have some musicians come and play too, and some, you could maybe make this into like a real, like, just like huge thing for like lesbians to get a one-stop shop for everything. Music, film, television, all of it.
Don't steal all our ideas now.
Oh no! I'm freely giving them over to you.
No, that's definitely something that's on our radar for sure.
So you guys have a lot of people coming in. You guys have so many people coming in this year
as guests on panels.
I mean, some of my favorites: Dot Marie Jones from Glee, Emily and Catherine from Wynonna Earp. How do you guys choose who's coming in?
Well, really, we elevate women. LGBTQ women, so you have to either be LGBTQ or support our community in some way. So you've either played an LGBTQ character, or maybe you write one. So that's how we get some of the writers that are involved, where they've created awesome representation for us. So we want to talk about it. We want to talk about how it's come to light. Was there any pushback getting that character into the show, and what that entire process was like? In terms of choosing who comes, there are quite a lot of people out there now, a lot more people who are playing or representing LGBTQ women in film and TV. So part of our process is seeing who's out there and seeing who's available. Every year we hope we can bring in some new people, let more fans meet more of their favorite actresses every year.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I do love the focus that you give towards queer women in this event, because let's say early in this conversation, I compared it to like a Comic-Con or things of that nature, where people who show up at those events simply have appeared on like sci-fi, some kind of a sci-fi broadcast or in some kind of a fantasy television series or film. And that's great for people who are interested in that, but this is specifically for people who are very open either about their sexuality as a member of the LGBTQ community as a woman, or about people who've embraced opportunities to provide representation for queer women, whether that was through their portrayal in film, television, or their contributions as a writer or graphic novelist, things of that nature. I think it's very specific what you are doing, but it's also very wonderful because quite often I think that more representation is not given because it seems like those contributions are not necessarily appreciated, and you're showing significant love for people who have shown elements of your life stories in one of these many different forms of media.
Yeah, I think television and film in particular are really important to everybody, and we see ourselves in those characters and those stories. And we get attached to them. And normally at Comic-Con and events like that, you're kind of hard-pressed to find any LGBTQ representation at all. So being able to provide a space where it is all LGBTQ representation is pretty awesome, and specifically LGBTQ women, because even often within the LGBTQ space, women sometimes aren't really at the forefront.
Well, that is something that over the course, we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary on this show. And during
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And but more to the point, what I was going to say is that repeatedly over that 2-year time, when we've had women on, they talk about the absolute drought in opportunities for queer women to gather and have spaces uniquely their own. They've talked about the way that bars and environments that are geared towards women are drying up and disappearing, that the opportunities for women to gather and express common interests is dwindling. And this is such an amazing and unique way to provide a space, a weekend long space for women to do that from around the world.
Go out in Vegas.
Yes. Hello?
I'm sorry, was there a question in there? No. I'm sorry. I'm out a little bit. I'm sorry, that was a really long section, and I think we lost the end of it.
Oh, no, it's quite all right. I was just, basically, it was an observation that you are providing, Klexicon provides an opportunity for women to gather on a national and international level when so many individuals don't actually even have spaces to do that on a localized level.
Yeah, I think they're part of the draw of events like ours is that it is providing that space that is really hard to find so often otherwise. We talk a lot about how the bar culture for queer women is kind of dying, and I think that often queer women want spaces that aren't bars and clubs, and they're usually much harder to find. So I think spaces like ours and some other events that are popping up around the country too that are more like weekend events are really popular because there aren't many other options.
From your perspective, obviously you are women who are presumably very connected in your individual communities outside of producing this event. What is your perspective on the somewhat, it seems like almost a dying culture for lesbians to socialize on a public level? And I was curious what your perspective is on that and what you think lies behind it.
Well, I think that one's kind of a hard one to answer. I think there are a lot of stereotypes out there about women settling down, not being into bars. I think there's probably some truth in it. I think there's probably some other things going on as well. I think, just speaking for myself, I really value spaces that aren't necessarily alcohol and party focused to be able to meet and hang out with people. And I think that those spaces are a little harder to find and sustain as well. So yeah, I think there are people out there though in the community working on developing that, which is really awesome. And I think that, you know, like think that we're part of that.
Yes, it definitely would seem to be. And you mentioned how in the Comic-Con culture, for example, it's because Pearl, my co-host, just went to a Comic-Con, what was it, 3-4 months ago? Something like that?
No, girl, it was like July last year.
Okay, so like 7 months ago, something like that. Anyway, we were sort of going through the attractions that were going to be there, and there was almost none that were LGBTQ focused, except right. I think like somebody from Xena was there, which I always associate with lesbianism.
Yeah, they did have speed dating.
So the interesting thing that I believe is that we as queer people, whether that's male, female, or whatever, non-binary, like somewhere on the spectrum, we're hiding in plain sight, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, we're there, but I don't think that unless we're doing something specific that we are necessarily visible in those spaces.
Yeah, and I think also because we're not the ones running those spaces, that because we're not in their minds, that there's no programming often created for us.
Right.
So I think it's really a missed opportunity for a lot of these spaces, and hopefully they'll start providing more LGBTQ content because there's obviously a fan base out there for it, and we want it.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. I mean, this is only indirectly related because it makes me think of this, but there's an event coming to San Francisco, for example, that's called Dungeons and Drag Queens.
What?
And it's like, you know, it's just very specific, but it's like there is a market for these things. And when people don't think outside the box of what their norm is,
yeah,
it allows tremendous opportunities for creative, intelligent women such as yourself to come along and be like, you know what? You're not serving us, so we're going to put together
our own,
like 3,000 lesbians who are cosplaying and talking about film representation. And I mean, it's tremendous that you sort of decided to take the initiative to do that. And I was wondering what spurred that initiative really to happen on such a large scale and how you managed to pull it together. Because I don't even know that some people would even have a clue how to do that.
Start. Yeah.
Well, none of us had done this before. There are three of us who run this convention. Holly, who couldn't be on the call today. But it was her idea. She came up with the idea, and then Dan and I came along, and we were like, actually, let's blow this up and make it so big and open it up. Like, we're going to do it, go big, go home, right? So we went big, and we made a film festival, and we had an after party, and we had too much programming and just so much going on. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was bigger than we thought it would be, and I think hopefully we can also be an inspiration for people. Like, we didn't really even know what this was going to be getting into it, and we just made it happen. And sometimes in our community, that's what you need to do. You need to you see something that needs to happen, and you just have to take a risk and make it happen. And we were lucky enough that we have a really supportive group of people behind us. We have an amazing group of volunteers who work year round with us to make this happen, and we have a community that really wants this and really support us and make sure that it can happen.
For the listeners out there, this is bigger than we're even letting on, because yes, there's KlexiCon Las Vegas that's coming up, but I saw you also have KlexiCon London.
Right.
Like, global.
Yeah, the first international event this year will be in London in November. You can definitely check that out on our site. We'll have a lot more information on that soon. And we're also partnering with the Honolulu Rainbow Film Festival in August to do an event out in Honolulu. So we're really branching out quickly. So it's very exciting.
So can you tell us just what the weekend would look like if you were to attend KlexiCon this year?
Wow, craziness. Crazy. First of all, you want to get there on Thursday and go to speed friending, make some friends, and then hit up our pool party, go grab dinner, and then it's our badge pickup party. Come pick up your badge, mingle, and have fun. Yeah, we're taking over a club in Las Vegas for our badge pickup party this year. We're really excited about that. Yeah, it's going to be in the Fruit Loop District. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are all-day programming. So we have panels starting at 10 a.m. going to 7 p.m. Main panels with guests and actresses, filmmakers, as well as other panels running all day.
Photograph, autograph, meet and greet.
Friday night, we have a comedy event with some really amazing comics called Shifts and Giggles. Saturday night is our after party. It goes till 4 a.m. and just like it really doesn't stop. So don't plan on sleeping. Yeah, it's not.
All right.
Well, okay. So I'm trying to remember the name of one of the panels that I saw, and I gasped. I think it's like Let's Talk Clitorally or Speaking Clitorally.
Let's Get Clitorate. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, get, my God. Let's Get Clitorate.
Let's Get Clitorate. I love
what does that mean?
Well, as well as having all of our panels that are very serious around representation and filmmaking and producing and how to get involved, we also have some fun side. We have basically a little sex ed session. We have lots of fun little things like that, and interesting and educational as well, alongside a bunch of things that are a little more serious. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
So I just remember seeing... So I was telling Pearl right before we brought you ladies on that I did a search today on Twitter, and there is a massive amount of people already, we're talking months away, who are legitimately counting down the weeks and days to KlexiCon. And
girl, some of their stuff is sold out online already.
Yes. I mean, it's pretty amazing that this... I'm just blown away by the response that you've had so early on. It really does prove that there is a market for this.
Right.
Yeah, there definitely is. We our VIP packages sold out in half an hour. So there's wow. definitely massive demand for it.
Now, I want to ask you, one of the things that surrounds this whole convention is the idea that you are collectively, as fans and influencers in the industries, various industries represented, talking about how to better have representation for queer women and allies and such in the various medias. And I'm wondering what kind of takeaway has been given to that thought process, how to have better representation, how to better support the representation that's out there, et cetera.
Well, there's a couple of angles that we come at it from. One is people, those of us who consume media, and how we can support people, the people who are actually creating good content, what we can do to get behind them and make sure that they have the support to hopefully keep making content. We also really talk a lot about encouraging more LGBTQ women to get involved in the content creation themselves. We have a lot of workshops and networking events for people who are starting out in the industry or want to get into the industry, to talk to people who are more established and take classes and learn new skills. And then we hear a lot of discussion around people who are more established in the industry talking about their experiences and how they have been able to include better rep in their shows or films and what obstacles they've had. It's really interesting just to listen to their experiences and be able to learn from how they have been able to do things better in their programming.
I'm curious, out of the stories that you've heard shared during your experiences over the since beginning this, can you cite for us an individual and a story that really stuck with you from one of these individuals of the kind of obstacles they've faced in getting lesbian-specific content out?
I think the biggest obstacle I tend to hear is just that there are so few queer people in writers' rooms and at higher levels of production, so they tend to not really hear the pitches or hear the concerns of the queer people in the room, and that we just need a lot more LGBTQ people in those spaces being able to speak up and being able to tell their stories. And we need a lot more allies who maybe aren't LGBTQ to be able to understand what the issues are and educate themselves enough to do a better job in their writing.
Yeah, I think that I certainly believe that we as a community, now I know that you ladies are very specific to queer women, but of which I'm not, but, you know, I definitely believe that we are better represented now than we have been at any time in history. But the importance still of seeing different facets of our community represented, different stories and different takes on our stories is so vastly important as we continue to grow and for us to continue to feel empowered and recognized and seen as valued members of society. I really believe that's true. It wasn't a question, it was a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. We totally agree. So, we may have more LGBT characters on screen, but how are those stories being told? Are right. we the drug addicts that are dying six episodes in and written off in a really crappy way? Or are we actually moving the plot forward? Are we speaking a lot? Like, do we have speaking roles? What do the characters actually look like? The meat and bones of it. You know what I mean? That's really what we're talking about.
Right. And I think that that's very, I do think that that's extremely important because, again, this goes back to what I'm trying, I wish I could remember. I should have written down the hashtag or the phrase that I read in discussions about either on your website or about your event. And it's that, you know, our characters are often written in some kind of gratuitous way. I remember Danny Francesi from who was in Mean Girls was on a couple episodes ago talking about how, like, he was often allowed to audition for these queer roles, but it would always be like sassy one-liners or, right. you know, not a substantial character that gets actual storylines or is portrayed in a way where our romances are seen as equal or treated as equal, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we're seeing some much better rap coming out now. We, like, for example, One Day at a Time does a really good job with its LGBTQ storyline. Black Lightning seems to be doing a good job with theirs. So we're starting to see characters that are more full characters that are important to the story versus side characters that are there and then disappear and are only really used to forward somebody else's story. So it is getting better in that sense, but there's just not enough of it yet. We are still too often the side character.
One of the things that I think that hopefully will come out of the conversations that you have at Klexicon is the ideas that we as a community really do need to support those outlets where we find valuable stories being told, where our representation is well done. And because I think of, you know, situations in the past where we have gotten some nice representation, but people don't seem to buy into those shows always, and they may disappear quickly. And if they don't last or their viewing numbers aren't sufficient, then someone somewhere in a production studio is like, well, look, we tried this once and it didn't happen. And then I think the same way often, honestly, of how we don't necessarily always support actors who are actually openly gay. We would much rather applaud somebody for playing gay or playing lesbian or mm-hmm. playing transgender than we would applaud the people who are actually of our own community. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We see that a lot for sure. And most of our guests don't identify as LGBTQ. They've played LGBTQ characters and they've done it really well. But often those characters are, those roles are given to people who don't identify as LGBTQ. One of the things that we really love to do is we have a panel on our main stage where we bring together all of the actresses who want to be part of an LGBTQ panel and actually get them in front of our audiences. And we can be like, support our community, support these actresses who are part of our community and make sure that they're getting the time they deserve as well, not just always supporting straight actors who are playing our role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, I certainly do understand that people are drawn to actors and actresses, for example, who may have a higher profile because they are heterosexual and they play other roles or whatever that may be. But when it comes down to it, for example, if we would rather buy an album by a heterosexual woman who supports or is supportive of the LGBTQ community versus an openly queer woman who has an equally great album, it's like, well, we're really kind of eating our own in a way, because if we say it on the podcast all the time, if we don't support those who are our own and who right. support us, how can we blame anybody else for not doing it?
Yeah, exactly. We feel the same way. We want to definitely elevate members of our own community who are doing this and getting up on those screens.
So you have it's the entire weekend long is a film festival too, correct?
Yeah, 3 days. Yep.
I mean, I can't even figure out, you said it yourself, you can't sleep, but I can't even figure out how you can take in everything that's happening at Klexicon.
I mean, you can't. You definitely, people have very intricate schedules that they create in order to hit up the things that they really want to see. It's pretty intense, but it's also awesome that we're able to have so many things going on and give people so many options.
Well, you would gag, but they're actually having one of Wonder Woman's stunt doubles.
I saw that because one of the headlines that was on the Klexicon website is like Wonder Woman in Klexicon.
Right.
So you guys, ladies, I'm obsessed with Wonder Woman. So a little bit, just a little bit.
Us too. Our spare room is decked out. But yeah, Caitlin is great. She was Wonder Woman's stunt double. Hopefully she will be again. We're really excited to have her there.
Oh,
that is...
Yeah, one of the things that we think is really important, too, is highlighting bi women and bi characters. Often bi characters don't really get a lot of airtime either. So we definitely want to make sure that we're representing as many parts of our community as possible.
Well, the whole idea of bi erasure, you know, people talk about bisexual erasure and people, how the bisexual community doesn't feel embraced as part of the queer community as a whole because, for various reasons.
Yeah. But they are stepping up their visibility also because, I mean, now we have, like, artists like Halsey.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So that's fantastic that you make sure to specifically kind of showcase that element of the queer female community as well.
Yeah, we have panels around bi erasure. We also have panels around representation for trans women. And we have panelists talking about non-binary issues, asexuality, all sorts of things. We really want to make sure that anybody who wants to have a voice can really have a voice.
That is phenomenal. So I'm curious, the three of you who started Klexicon obviously have this sort of shared interest, but how is it that the three of you first came together to know one another?
We met on Twitter. Yeah.
So
Holly was the person who had this original idea, and then Ashley and I both, as soon as we heard about it, kind of jumped up and said, hey, how can we help?
Separately. None of us knew each other.
But then within a week or two, we were all kind of making this happen. But it was all through social media. A lot of this movement is happening because of social media and because so many people in our community now are able to have a voice through social media, where before we were all probably a lot more isolated than we are now.
And Ashley, if I'm not mistaken, I read that you are the one who sort of like spearheads the how to manipulate social media to make this happen for everybody. That's sort of like your focus.
In the beginning, that was actually my only job, was to run the Twitter account and the Facebook account. And so I kind of made Shuzo social media guru.
Yeah, and now we have someone else that handles it, but we definitely have rules that we follow, and we try to make it a fun place, our timeline.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time with social media because that is where a lot of our base is. That's how we communicate with our attendees often and fans from around the world.
I really, there's so many elements of this that sort of like tickle my fancy. I love the idea that you're bringing women, because we're talking about what this calls to mind is how I was so infatuated as a young gay man with the internet many, many years ago, because I had felt so isolated in my interests until the internet allowed me to connect with other people like myself. And
exactly.
And what it is that you women are doing is that you are connecting with other women of a like interest from around the world and providing them this one huge gathering that allows them to sort of tap into a somewhat specific interest, like, you know, the representation in media is some women may presumably not care about that, but clearly there's thousands who do.
Right.
And you're giving them this amazing space to do that. And I think that's just so brilliant.
I think there are probably very few people, very few queer women and probably queer guys as well, where if you ask them about, you know, a character or a role that meant something to them from TV or film, they have somebody on the tip of their tongue. Like, those characters, we really do relate to them because that is sometimes the only representation we see of ourselves and the only time that we see that maybe there are other people out there like us, especially when we're younger. So I think a lot of people in our community do realize that it's important, and I think we also just love media. We love TV and film, and we love seeing ourselves reflected in that. So I think that there is a really big base for events like this and for people wanting to come together and talk about it and nerd out.
Well, I appreciate you joining us to tell us, how can our listeners find out more information specifically about Klexicon? And I know that it's in early April, so just let them have it with your social media handles and everything, how they can come and find you and Klexicon.
Sure. Best thing to do is visit our website, which is at www.clexacon.com, C-L-E-X-A-C-O-N. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is Clexacon. You can also find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Tumblr. You just search for Clexacon, you'll find us on all those places.
Sick name.
I think it's incredible. I'm very excited. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I find this is so exciting because I guess I just love the idea that three women who had never met saw a need for something and just said, let's do it.
Right.
I think that's really what's the exciting part to me because I love, as you said early on, I don't remember which of you ladies said it early on, but when you see something that is needed but doesn't exist, do it yourself. Right. Like, if it doesn't exist, make it, you know? And I love that. I love the fact you've done that.
Awesome. And we hope you both come out and check it out, too.
I definitely might.
It's a lot of fun from it.
Yes, Pearl definitely, like...
I definitely might grow. I want to check out that after party.
Yeah. Like, this... What you guys are talking about is right up her alley, y'all, so...
Right.
Oh, it's a black and white affair.
Oh, so
bring your breast test look and come out, and it's super fun.
I love it.
Well, thank you for joining us on Party Foul Radio, and we wish you and Clexacon all the best.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. I
wish. That's incredible.
I'm kind of, like, uncharacteristically excited about this. I think, really...
Have you even been to a regular Comic-Con?
No, I haven't. I have not, but the reason that I love, the reason I think that I like this idea more than, like, a Comic-Con is, first of all, it's all queer people.
Uh-huh.
And allies. Number one. But number two, I find it really inspiring that these three women had never even met,
mm-hmm.
and somebody sort of, like, tweeted out there, like, we should do this, or whatever, mm-hmm. and they were like, let's do it.
Right.
Because, I mean, what it reminds me of a little bit is like when I was younger, we would like sort of like put on a play in our backyard or something. And it's sort of like that kind of thing where like, I love when groups of people come together and just like do something like that. So, and these women saw a need that wasn't being served. And they're like, bitch,
let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. And girl, 2,200 people in like a couple years, honey, that's
literally two.
That's madness. I mean, right. and I will tell you, after having produced Pride Night at California's Great America, it's hard to get thousands of people to come to something. Mm-hmm. You know, the 2 years that I was producing it, we had 5,000 people there. And it's hard to get that many people to come. These people are flying in from all over the world, honey. So right. You know that they...
And they have it across the world, too. That's it.
And yeah, this year they're doing it in London in November. And apparently in Honolulu sometime, like... It'll be like maybe it'll be Baby Clexacon. Like
Baby Clexacon.
You know, like in Hawaii, because I doubt that it can sustain three huge, huge events. Mm-hmm. So like, but that is fierce. That is sickening.
And I want to say they actually have more guests coming in than Comic-Con had last year.
Well, just the damn panels are like right. out of control. Like
right.
You guys go look it up. It's Clexacon, CLEXACON.com. You can also find Clexacon on, as I said, Facebook, Twitter,
all the social media,
Instagram and Tumblr.
Mm-hmm. Tumblr too, girl.
Girl, I want to know what they got up on Tumblr, because usually that's reserved for the nasties.
Which is why I don't have one, girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she got, the Snapchat for her nasties. Anyway, speaking of social media, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Party Foul Radio.
And on both Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, and I'm the Glamazon PDM on Twitter.
And I'm Pearl Tease. That's Pearl, T-E-E-S-E. No porno, honey.
Unless you go up on our Instagram and see your nipples, bitch!
That's still not porno, that's women empowerment, bitch.
Whatever, that's porn. Alright, we'll be back right after this with more Party Foul Radio.
Stay abreast of all that's happening in queer nightlife and queer politics down under on Australia's premier LGBTQ news and information website. GuideToGay.com is your go-to for all things relating to LGBTQ nightlife and life in general down under, as well as for travel and pride event-related information for around the world. That's GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio.
And we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
We just heard from two of the three ladies behind Klexicon. Once again, just as a quick reminder, go over to klexicon.com, C-L-E-X-A-C-O-N.com, to find out all the details about their full weekend in Las Vegas, the first weekend of April, you all. So you have plenty of time, but you better not waste too much of it because all the VIP packages are already sold out. Yeah. But there's still plenty of general admission. You can get in there and find out all that is going on in representation for queer women in various forms of media, from television to graphic novels. So get out there, and as we say, support those who support us, because if we don't support our own, we cannot blame anybody for not supporting us. Right. So a number of things are happening right now. The Dow Jones took the biggest plummet in history, pretty much.
Who?
The Dow Jones, girl, the stock market.
Oh, I heard about that this morning, girl.
Meanwhile,
the Dow Jones, is that what it's called?
Yes. Anyway. That shit happened yesterday, and they're trying to blame Obama. Girl, Obama hasn't even been in office for over a year. How is it his fault?
Tell me how
it's his fault. Everything is somebody else's fault if you're a Republican, girl.
Right.
If you are a Republican, it's always somebody else's fault. So, and Obama is the one that they've chosen. They'll be blaming him. 12 years from now, they're going to be like, it was Obama.
Right.
You know, girl, stop. Just stop. Either own it or don't own it. So, I mentioned earlier in that conversation with the ladies from Klexicon, Pearl, there's a show that's based out of Seattle, and it's going to be coming to San Francisco mid to late March, and it's called Dungeons and Drag Queens. And it's hosted by Matt Bomme. Matt Bomme is the host of his own podcast. It's called The Sewers of Paris.
Wow.
I'm not sure why it's called The Sewers of Paris, but it is, and I will be a guest on an upcoming episode. We just recorded it this afternoon, but we talked about a variety of things. Matt in The Sewers of Paris talks to various people from the queer community and asks them what kind of entertainment changed their life forever. And, of course, I thought initially about mentioning drag, and then I was like, no, girl, I'm going with pro wrestling. So we talk extensively about professional wrestling, and it's going to be really fun. But Dungeons and Drag Queens is exactly what it sounds like. They get a cast of drag queens to play Dungeons and Dragons on stage, and people actually watch. People watch, girl. They come and watch it play out. So,
well, you know.
It looks like it's going to be coming either March 20th or 21st to Oasis Nightclub. So stay tuned here on the podcast, and I'll tell you more.
Oh, it's in the middle of the week.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And it's during, I think that there's some kind of a gaming event or convention, or I don't know if it's gaming or like a Comic-Con style event that's going to be surrounding that time frame. So it's going to be well placed in terms of having the right audience in town to support it. So
something is going on that weekend that you invited me to.
March 22nd, which is a Thursday, is the return of Wrestling for Charity.
That's what it is.
To El Toro Nightclub. So that March is going to be... March is already shaping up to be busy, girl.
Right.
And it's only 6 weeks away. It seems like longer, but it's like only really 6 weeks away.
Yeah.
And
February is already flying by, so it'll be here in no time.
It is. February is already booked solid for me. Of course, all the stuff with Empress is upcoming. Voting on the 17th, coronation on the 24th. Then, you know, I'm supposed to be going down to Long Beach the first weekend of March for March 3rd and 4th is their, I think it's March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th is their coronation weekend. But it's also the same weekend as Mr. San Francisco Leather. There is a lot of stuff that's upcoming, but we're just keep on chugging forward, honey.
Right.
So, yeah. So all of that is upcoming yet. So let's talk about RuPaul's All-Star Drag Race.
Oh my goodness.
Girl, did you watch
Yeah, I watched it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it, bitch.
About time, shit.
So Spoiler alert, folks. If you have not watched episode 2 of All Stars
and don't want it to be spoiled,
now is the time, like,
to hit it.
Fast forward or something. Maybe give us 15 minutes or what have you.
Something, girl.
So on episode 2 of RuPaul's All Stars Drag Race, season 3, the girls were each assigned...
Was it season 3? This is season 3 of All Stars Drag Race.
And they were assigned two challenges. One was they did like a VH1 Divas challenge where each of the girls was assigned a different diva.
Girl, do you want to talk about that?
Hold on. Oh. We'll definitely talk about it, girl.
Jesus.
And then the second challenge they had was for the runway, and it was their redemption challenge where they got to redo
Look that they messed up on. Yeah, like on their season.
A past flop of for their appearance. So it starts off with the girls being cast in their VH1 Divas challenge. And every girl got a different one. My favorite, for many, many different reasons, was Shangela.
Shangela was so good.
As Mariah Carey.
So good.
So Mariah, of course, you guys, is my favorite vocalist of all time. And they really kind of skewered the shit out of Mariah in their
they read her to filth. I lived, though.
So, yeah. But Shangela slays the challenge as a very kind of befuddled and lazy Mariah Carey.
Girl, just all over the place.
Just a mess. And she looked lovely.
She showed that she could do more than just get up there and buck.
I mean, well, she's bucking a lot less these days because since she broke her leg or whatever.
She's back at it now.
Oh, well, she said that she was going to be doing a lot less bucking and kicking.
She's still doing it, girl.
And by bucking, she means like jumping and twirling and death dropping and kicking like that and stuff. So the challenge plays out. It comes out early in the episode that Thorgy Thor is furious that she's been given a lesser role as Stevie Nicks.
Right.
And, you know, initially I was just like, Thorgy, suck it up. Because remember when Nina Bonina Brown threw her tantrum because she didn't get to play Black Chyna in that Kardashians the musical? There's always some bitch who thinks that she got shortchanged or shafted or whatever. Now, I will say that once I saw the girls performing, I did feel like her performance had less interesting or entertaining or comedic elements written into it. She said early on, like, I feel like Shangela was given the part to win this challenge. And lo and behold, spoiler alert, Shangela wins the challenge.
Yeah, but she sold it, girl.
She did, but also she was given more to work with. I mean, Thorgy did not. Like, I don't know. I also, then again, you guys, Thorgy was also told that she did really poorly at the challenge. I personally thought she did fairly decent.
I thought it was whatever. I think definitely, though, one of the worst was definitely Milk Girl with Celine Dion. What the fuck was that? Oh my God. I wanted to get up and walk out.
So Milk was assigned to be Celine Dion. I thought she was terrible.
It was awful.
I thought,
what the hell did she have on?
I thought it was terrible. I thought
a black wig rolled up in the back, girl. That's how she feels, Celine Dion. Nope.
I felt that the performance overall was absolutely dreadful.
Terrible.
What do people think about when they think of Celine Dion? I always think of that chest pump pounding thing, and where she pounds her chest with one hand and then like sort of
a pantsuit.
And like, you know, nothing. I did not get Celine Dion from that performance at all. Not one of that chest pump thing or whatever. Nothing. It was dreadful. Ultimately, they end up reading. Ben de la Creme comes out kicking and screaming too. She's fucking hilarious.
So good.
I forgot to mention that the way they do this is they have these like sort of vocal impersonator type of things recording various lyrics from RuPaul's songs. Yeah. as these different divas. So Ben de la Creme has been assigned Julie Andrews.
And she sings
They mother. Call me mother. Mm-hmm. They call me mother. So what I found very interesting about this, though, is you know that somebody had to tip off Ben de la Creme that she was going to be doing this. Ain't nobody got a Sound of Music outfit just randomly packed in their fucking suitcase. So, I mean, these girls got some kind of a hint.
It's funny because everything she wore was made by local queens here. The wig was Wigs by Tips by Laundry Time, and the dress was Dallas.
Well, I mean, it had to have been something that they tipped her off to, because, as I said...
Well, she could have thought to do it for Snatch Game, though.
Maybe, but I seriously don't think so. I think that this is one of the things where they must be telling these girls in advance a little something.
Right.
Because one of the things that I do know after following Morgan McMichael on Twitter is Morgan tweeted out who she had been assigned.
Who had she been assigned?
Lana Del Rey, apparently.
Oh.
And Morgan showed a photo like, this is what I would look like as Lana Del Rey or whatever, and looked nothing like Lana Del Rey in my mind, whatever, but I'm sure she'd have killed it. But at the same time, like, so Ben de la Creme and Shangela come out on top in that particular challenge as Julie Andrews and Mariah Carey. Meanwhile, Kennedy Davenport gets read for filth because... Even when I was watching it at the viewing party at Lookout with surrounded by all these people, I was like, she doesn't know a single fucking word. She doesn't know.
You know, I can't even remember what character it is she had.
She played Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson. She was assigned Janet Jackson. And, you know, I thought that she might be able to slay that role because she's an incredible dancer. But Janet has a very specific kind of dancing she does, that sort of like almost robotic at times type of dancing. None of that. She didn't do any of that. She looked like her cat suit was about two sizes too big for her.
Right.
She didn't know any of the words. It was very, you know, Todrick Hall did give her props because he gave her complicated choreography and she got some of it, but it was just like, okay, whatever.
Right.
A lot of the other girls I scarcely even remember. I mean, Trixie Mattel, I felt like, was assigned Trixie Mattel. She was playing Dolly Parton, but...
And she looked just like her. Like herself.
She looked just like her. Well, I mean, I told somebody, I was like, well, you know, Trixie basically tours doing exactly what she's showing up there. So the fact that they've given her a Dolly Parton-esque type of lip sync is...
Yeah, she's done the same thing the past two challenges. And then...
Bibi Zaharia-Benay was...
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, and she was just Bibi Zaharia-Benay, I felt like.
Yeah. But I feel like she did... She did do kind of Diana Ross, though.
So then it comes down to the redemption challenge, and Shangela comes out getting redemption for her terrible Christmas outfit. They had to make
Oh my God, she was sickening.
She came out in a giant ball, like as a snow globe. And, you know, Milk, once again, I felt really faltered in this.
I can't even remember what Milk wore.
She said that they kept bitching about her not being glamorous on her season.
Oh, that's right.
So she comes out looking like Violet Chachki, basically.
Right.
Like the love child of Violet Chachki and Miss Fame, maybe. Now, I will say this.
That's a lot of credit, but...
I want to say, I worked with Milk last year at San Jose Pride, and she looks gorgeous in person. Her makeup is dramatically improved. She's stunning, like noticeably beautiful, stunningly beautiful. But I'm sorry, she had on a very boring dress. I think she wore the exact same dress, actually.
Her hair was boring.
She had a beautiful, yet standard wig. It was very... And it was kind of like, if you're going to give me glamour, like, don't wear the same dress. The dress was boring last time.
Right.
And, like, so, okay, so you got better hair. But it was just really underwhelming.
Yeah.
Chi-Chi Devane... I find that Chi-Chi is...
What did she wear?
She wore...
Oh, she did the entrance look? Is she the one that did the entrance look?
She did, like, a... I thought it was a neon thing.
Oh, she did
neon.
And it still wasn't that good, I feel
like. I thought it was pretty good.
No.
But I felt it was okay.
It was better than her last one, but that wasn't saying much, girl.
That doesn't say much. I will tell you this. I think that Chi-Chi Devane as a performer is stellar. Chi-Chi Devane's drag aesthetic overall, again, that same the same event that I worked with Milk at, I worked with Chi-Chi at. And Chi-Chi's drag aesthetic is what I would consider very basic.
It is.
It's very, very basic. It's like...
I've worked with her too, and it's very much that.
It's Halloween store quality wigs, or like very minimal wigs.
It's nothing special besides her paint.
I don't even think her paint was special. I think her performance is special.
It is.
Her performance is special.
But she is pretty. She is pretty.
Yeah, but I think that her paint is basic. I think that it's... I think that there's very seldom that I see something of Chi-Chi Devane and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's no wow factor to her. Mm-hmm. And she came out once again in her neon challenge with, like, a Halloween wig and some...
She did.
Like, it was a mess. And
she did that.
And and so... Ultimately, it comes down to the bottom two are Kennedy and Thorgy.
What did Thorgy wear?
Thorgy wore that hammerhead type of thing. She was also neon greens and whatever.
Yeah.
And it comes down to Thorgy Thor and Kennedy in the bottom two. The top two are Ben de la Creme and Shangela. And they, of course, are going to lip sync to their legacy to win $10,000 and... to send some bitch home.
Right.
Now, if you are listening and you definitely don't want spoilers, now's the time to go because we're about to give it away, girl. Spoilers.
So they lip synced to Jump.
Jump for My Love by the Pointer Sisters.
And Shangela won that.
Shangela wins.
And she sends...
But before we mention who they send home, they do this whole thing in the background back where it's like the girls are negotiating with the two possible bottom two. Shangela's like, bitch, I'm going to serve you straight up Game of Thrones. I'm going to make some alliances up in here.
Right.
And...
I heard that, girl.
I agree. I thought it was smart as fuck.
Right.
So, ultimately, she sends Thorgy home.
Mm-hmm.
Thorgy is the second to go home. Now, I had no problem with this, really, except for the fact that if you have to pick from those two, I'd say, fine, go home, Thorgy, because the reason behind my decision would have been that if you're up in there constantly battling in your own head and you're not even actually sort of fighting what's going on the runway...
Then, girl, what are you doing here?
You're in the wrong place. Right. Thorgy is doing the same
kind of... Did last season.
Yes. Like, girl, have you learned nothing?
Right.
That's really what it comes... I was like, bitch, she didn't learn shit from her experience on the show.
No.
Like, she's second-guessing herself. She's feeling sorry for herself.
All she can do is worry herself to death instead of handle the fucking challenge, girl.
So, Thorgy had to go home.
Thorgy gets stuck in being a victim instead of being a survivor of her situation.
Yes.
Oh.
And so they keep Kennedy on. Meanwhile... Milk is in the back, bitching and whining.
Girl, Milk had me so pissed.
She was like crying
because she didn't win. Bitch, get out of here!
Bitch,
you're too old for this at this point.
I'm sorry, but she should have been crying tears of fucking gratitude because she should have been in the bottom too.
She should have.
She should have been in the bottom too.
She should have been in the bottom too the last episode too. This bitch is getting free bones thrown her way.
Yeah, I mean, girl, you need to get over yourself because, honey...
She really did. That was a gag.
It was like, not only were you not the winner, you really were the worst. Like, you were really in the bottom. Like, beyond, like...
And
you know,
want to sit back here and bitch and cry about how come you didn't win.
No, ma'am. It was a fright. And
I'm ready for her to go. I think a lot of social media is ready for her to go.
Well, social media is really turning on Milk really quickly.
And the thing is, as soon as I saw the first episode, I saw that happen. And I was like, oh, this bitch is going to show her ass and is going to lose all her followers.
I mean, again, we said it last week, but girl... Her followers are going to, like, make a million excuses for her or this and that.
Right.
But, bitch, the tale of the tape doesn't lie. She was up there crying about how she should have won. And I'm sorry. I hope when she's sitting at home watching this shit, she's like, oh, damn, I was really fucked up. I was fucked in my head because the way it really looked is not how it looked in my head at all. I thought it was fierce, and that's not fierce.
I can cry, baby.
But the end of the episode is Thorgy's, like, By the way, Thorgy was like, I guess this is going to be boring TV now that I'm gone. Right. Bitch, you were boring too. Right. Like, you crying and moaning and bitching and whining with your conspiracy theories. Not that interesting. Terrible. You got to go. But then all of a sudden, two girls come in dressed like sister wives or whatever, like the Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Show up and they're going to, like, whisk her off to something.
You
like,
know that that's Chad Michaels and Alaska.
I saw it was... I couldn't really tell who it was.
If you would have, it happened to the last girl in the last episode too.
Oh, okay. So Chad and Alaska show up looking like the Handmaid's Tale to take her off somewhere. I'm assuming that they're putting these bitches back in like some kind of a tank, like they did last time. I think also that they do this. They did this in part to keep those girls on hand for the whole filming, perhaps because they didn't want people to know what order they went home in, because if they keep them all quarantined the entire time, then nobody gets to say, like, oh, she was only gone 4 days or whatever. But still, what did they do last time when they had the girls back in the back? Did they make a decision later on about...
No, they just had all the girls come back during the...
maybe so.
What is it called? The double look challenge? Oh. The two-in-one looks? Remember they popped up behind the mirror?
Oh, yeah. I can't... The mirror has two faces?
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't remember. But at any rate, it's... My guess is that after this episode I'm watching, like, I don't foresee Chi-Chi going too terrible far in this competition.
No, girl. She's one of the next to go. Milk has to be one of the next to go.
Milk would probably, presumably, be one of the next to go.
I think Kennedy is a great performer or whatever, but she is just not... She hasn't done anything special yet, and I think it's,
I think that Kennedy is... I think Kennedy paints very well. I think that Kennedy is her whole package significantly more advanced than a Chi-Chi.
Right.
But I think that where Kennedy falls short is in a show like this, one has to be adaptable.
And I don't think her execution is completely there. Like, I think she's a little... Like, she needs... She does, like, these really creative and fun looks. Like, the last one she had rhinestones everywhere. But it was kind of messy.
Yeah, I think that the reason that it doesn't come across extremely well is that even she's not comfortable with these things. Right. She does them because she knows that she needs to do something to pop. But it's sort of like half-assed execution of it. And that's what I mean about adaptability. I think that the reason that people like Ben de la Creme and Shangela and a few others will probably go very far in this challenge and in this situation is because they have a very diverse type of background in drag. Shangela is an actor and a comedian. Ben de la Creme, actor and comedian. Even a Trixie Mattel, acting and comedian and singing and all this stuff. So when it comes to all of these various things, they're going to be able to hit their stride more easily in those categories versus somebody like a Kennedy, who is a pageant queen, who has done extremely well in pageants because she can prepare something for 3 months and go with this prepared package with her dress and her talent and her whatever. But she can't seem to do things like that on the fly to the level that these other girls can, because they are more adaptable. So,
and I, you know, as much as you think Trixie's going to win, she's just giving me the same shit every episode.
But I feel like sometimes that's what this show is. Like, they gear this shit towards people.
Yes, that's, you know, that's true.
So, I mean, I really feel like there were a number of times last All-Star season where things felt like they were decidedly geared towards Alaska or whatever.
Do you remember how last All-Stars Roxy was kind of just boring and her the entire way through?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see what I see is going on with Trixie. She's kind of just boring and her the entire way through.
But we're only 2 episodes in. So I think that... I do think that the difference between the two is that I believe that Trixie is more entertaining overall than...
I don't know about that. I think before this season started, I would have agreed, but now, I don't know.
I think Trixie is more entertaining overall than Roxy is, for sure, because there's Roxy is, again, somebody who does beauty and glamour very well, and even sensuality and sexuality mm-hmm. very well, but she's not particularly comedic. She's like all of these things.
Right.
She I think she managed to do some of those things, mm-hmm. but I think that Trixie, when the challenge calls for some of those things, she's going to have a greater opportunity to showcase some of those things. We haven't yet had a real acting challenge. Right. Like, I mean, this was a mild version of an acting challenge, but it was an impersonation challenge. So when we see more of those kind of things, or comedy challenges, and like right. Trixie, those will be things where Trixie will shine and other girls may not. So we'll have to see. We'll definitely have to wait and see where this is going. But I really think that, I mean, I definitely think that Ben de la Creme and Shangela are strong contenders for this as well.
I think they're definitely in the top two. They're the top two, girl.
I think that, for me, I think the ultimate redemption story would be Shangela winning All-Stars.
That would be sickening, bitch. I mean, and I live for Shangela, so I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it. But I also really, really enjoy Ben's drag and everything mm-hmm. he does, and I think he is so, so talented.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that if I had to pick the person I want to win, if I had to pick the person I want to win All-Stars, Shangela, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I think that, as I said, A, it's the ultimate redemption. But also, we are going to be able to see a true evolution of a drag performer from start to finish. Remember, when Shangela was on
her... Girl, have you seen the pictures of her, like, when she first started to, like, the second to now?
Girl, I watched the first season that she was on. I saw... She was only been... had only been doing drag for six months.
Right, but have you been on her social media? She's been putting pictures side by side. She looks... It's been such an evolution.
Well, yeah, I mean... Pearl may not know this, but I worked with Shangela, like, weeks after she left her very first season. Like... I worked with her almost immediately after she was on the show, and she was still messy, but not nearly as messy as she was on the first year. And then, mm-hmm. Of course, I've worked with her countless times since then, and, you know, I love working with her, first of all. She is truly a professional,
right.
You know, like, and I think that it would be kind of the sweetest thing to see somebody who was the first off of her first season, mm-hmm. then made it to the top five on her second go round, finally, you know, to win All Stars. Now, girl, that would be fierce. Where we're going to go with this, I don't know.
So I think she also deserves it, but that's, you know, besides the point.
So more shall be revealed this week on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
And I, you know what? I think before the show started, a lot of people were sleeping on Shangela. Everyone was like, oh, I think she's going to go. I think she's going to go. She's going to be one of the first to go. And now this bitch is like...
Well, honey, she just released her 2018 tour calendar.
It's insane.
It is insane. She's like in a different city or state or country
every like other week.
Multiple times a week.
Right.
And God love her for being very young still. Like, right. Well, she's not super young anymore. She's like in her early 30s, but...
Right.
Definitely, like...
Doing it.
And that's what it's about, honey. She's, like, serving it to you. So, good luck, Shangela. Good luck. Congratulations, Shangela, for your win this week. Congratulations to Ben de la Creme for your stellar performance this week. You almost made it 2 weeks in a row, Ben.
Right.
Like,
right.
Definitely the two front runners right now.
Next week they're doing something like The Bachelor or something.
Oh, the Bitchler.
Yeah.
Like, I almost called it The Snatchler. Could you imagine The Snatchler? That's what I call my bachelorette parties that I work, The Snatchlerette parties. I was like, oh, I gotta work with The Snatchlerettes. But The Bitchler,
mm-hmm.
Bitchlerette or whatever. So that should be very interesting. And we will see this week who is up to par and who has to go home. Let me tell you, if Milk doesn't do something, she and Chi-Chi are my two bottom two right now. So
they both can go. Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't miss either one. So, all right, Pearl, you're going to be at Asia SF on Saturday, so they can see you at Asia if they come want to, if they're in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I will be performing on Saturday at Asia SF right on 9th and Howard. You guys can go check it out at AsiaSF.com. And like I said earlier in the episode, soon I'll be on the website. So keep an eye out for that.
On Friday night, I'm going to be at Ginger's downtown. It's my first time at Ginger's, performing at Ginger's.
I've only heard great things.
I have too. So I'm looking forward to being at Ginger's in downtown San Francisco in the Financial District on Friday. Saturday, you can catch me at Lips and Lashes Drag Brunch with Carney Asada at 1:30 p.m. Showtime at the Lookout. Immediately followed by my fundraising event for the Castro Country Club from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Lookout. So please stop by and see me there. And God knows I'm certain to be somewhere on Sunday too. The easiest way to keep abreast of all that's going on with me over the next few weeks on my hashtag, The Road to Empress.
Oh, lovely.
Follow me on social media. Just look up Pollo Del Mar on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram.
Girl, Google that shit.
Exactly. Remember, follow the podcast too. We said it earlier, but we'll say it again. Find us at Party Foul Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Stay up to date on all we're doing. Meanwhile, until next time, I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
Bye.
Bye. It's over. It's over.